This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:38 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. And now for today on Twitter, we're going to be talking about a video that has gained attention over the weekend of authorities stopping an ambulance at an intersection to allow the Prime Minister's convoy to pass through.
Yes. So, I mean, if you've ever been on the road and you've had to sort of pull over when a VIP convoy comes by, you'll know what the scene would look like. But in the video, traffic officers were seen to have stopped two vehicles that were about to turn to the main road. They also stopped a four-wheel drive and an ambulance right behind it. And that's actually what has caught the most attention. The incident happened in Hulu Langat on Sunday about 11:30 a.m. And the Prime Minister's convoy was heading from Taman Sri Nanding to the Al Mustaqim Mosque to look into the cleaning works of various agencies for flood victims. Now, it got so much backlash because, as I said, stopping an ambulance so that a convoy can go by seems honestly a little bit misguided and misplaced. The PDRM has since addressed the issue after getting all of that backlash online. They said that the ambulance was temporarily blocked to reduce the risk of accidents and to ensure pedestrian safety. But this hasn't really gone over very well either.
No, so the tweets generally are angry. For example, we have Kapung Kia saying the convoy traveling at that speed on a Kampung road is the one posing the risk. We also have this from Kok Jen who says, why not stop the convoy and let the ambulance pass through first? Again, the priority seems so off. And we have Navij who says, this goes to show that our government does read our tweets and still chooses to not pay attention to many important issues. A simple apology would have gone a long way.
I'm not a huge fan of these convoys. I understand that they serve a purpose sometimes. You know, there are conferences or events that are important that VIPs need to get to. But I dare say that we see them overused. I mean, there's no need for this to happen for every time a minister needs to get from one place to another. And I personally experienced almost swerving into the opposite lane because of a traffic convoy that was going by. And I don't know if you guys have experienced this, but where the police officer actually bangs on your car so that you'll move. And that shocked me so much that I almost swerved into the car next to me, especially because it was raining really heavily. And so this can't possibly be safe. And it's also fairly entitled and uncaring about the other people on the road.
I think it's what it signifies more than anything, right? It's this idea of whose time is more valuable than others. And of course, you could make the argument that the leader of any nation, with the sheer number of engagements, meetings, things that they have to do in a day, require help getting to places on time. I don't think anybody is debating that. I think, however, the issue with convoys, aside from what you just described, and the hitting and the kicking of cars is definitely something that's come up. The other part of it, of course, is the single-minded nature of a convoy, because the convoy exists for only one reason and in a sense, only one person, whoever it might be who is the leader of the pack, so to speak, right? The idea is to just get them from point A to point B in an efficient way. And I think that kind of tunnel vision means that you don't notice when there's an ambulance. And when you think about it in the context of actually going to look at flood assistance or flood recovery efforts, and then you inadvertently end up blocking or delaying the progress of an ambulance, that says a lot about the priorities, right? Which is the thing that's coming through in the tweets as well, this idea of a priority. But of course, in a convoy, the priority is the person's time. And perhaps in this period, particularly when everybody is so sensitive to who gets help, who doesn't, and the speed with which people get that aid, it's no wonder that it's a sticking point.
I think the tweet that you read earlier about moving at that speed on a Kampung road is actually one made well, because I don't know when the last time some of these people have been on a regular city road in Malaysia at peak hour, but there isn't a lot of space for people to manoeuvre or move. And you end up putting a lot of people at risk because a lot of us are also not really used to having to do that at a split second. A lot of us are also quite wary of being called out by the police. So I think it creates the kind of situation where it's already a relatively high-stakes situation. And then on top of it, you are put in a state of mind where you're not quite sure where you're supposed to go or what to do. All of these things. I completely agree that it is that sense of feeling like you're not as important as them. And that comes back to the Antara Dua Darjat thing.
It's an ambulance. You know, it's just a little bit difficult to debate the single fact that an ambulance is usually engaged in life-saving, that that's the whole point of it. And so, yeah, I think it's a little bit of a tough one to swallow. And again, perhaps an acknowledgement of it, a better one than what we've seen so far, would have gone a long way. Because like you said, what has come out from the PDRM was that it was to reduce the risk of accidents. But that still doesn't address the prioritization, right, of life and timing. So we'd like to hear from you again. What are your experiences with police convoys? What are your thoughts on this story and situation? That number to call is 7733-2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back for your messages after this. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Banish fraudulent maneuvers, BFM 89.9.
It is 5:47 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. We have been discussing police convoys after PDRM was trending on Twitter because a police convoy for the Prime Minister ended up blocking two vehicles, including an ambulance.
We have a number of people basically just making the point about time management. So we have Ho, who says, using a convoy to get to places on time, why not leave earlier? Start the trip earlier. And Irfan says, this traffic convoy policy must change. It serves nothing other than the I'm running late for a meeting minister, which you can avoid all that rush by having a good plan of your day. Unless you had 100 meetings in a day, so we would understand, but no, you don't. If you had 100 meetings a day, why is the rakyat still going through so much?
So I was thinking about this earlier, right? Because you and I were talking off air and discussing how, for example, the presidential motorcade works in other countries. In the United States, for instance, when they have to move around the city, how does it happen? And my understanding of it generally is that they close roads. And so there is not necessarily the kicking of cars and the sirens and the weaving in and out and you having to look in your rearview mirror and going, ah, it's a motorcade. Instead, the roads are empty, which in theory also makes the driving a lot safer. Now, all of this is only possible, of course, if, like you were saying, Irfan, you have a really strong concrete plan of your day and you have everybody invested in getting you from point A to point B in a super organized fashion. Of course, for those of us who have been raised in Malaysia, living in Malaysia, attended Malaysian events, you will know that if an event is predicated on waiting for a VIP to arrive, the odds of them being on time is, you know, not that great.
Which is just salt on the wound, honestly. I mean, they have a motorcade and yet they're usually late for events. And I think that the other thing being that in a lot of countries, it isn't every VIP who gets this sort of escort also. It's as you said, it's usually the president, perhaps the vice president. But not certainly not every VIP, certainly not every minister, and certainly not for everything. And I think that makes a difference because on a regular week, you would easily see two or three of these.
Sorry, and I know it's not the point, but also not some random, private citizens who can afford it, because that's the other part of it, right? We're acting as if only VIPs, only people who are leading the country get it. And that's simply not the case. We know this to be true.
I didn't realize you could do that until fairly recently when someone told me, do you know you can actually get that for, like, I don't know, a wedding procession? Mm. And I was like, what? Yes, I completely agree.
I did not enjoy finding that out. We also have this from Robert who says, with regard to the answer of stopping the ambulance for a VIP, a few minutes can really make a difference between life and death to an injured person in an ambulance. It's a waste of resources to have this convoy. It could have been used wisely to help the flood victims. And that is a theme that's coming through loud and strong. We also have this from Tash who says, PDRM should display this sort of ferocity in executing their duties when they're directing the crazy traffic caused by the flood. I'm a Shah Alam resident. I know what I'm talking about. No police no traffic police were present from Saturday till Tuesday, possibly even Wednesday, when the major traffic lights were out of commission. The Grab and Foodpanda riders were the ones directing the traffic. Convoy Shmovoy. The people come first, especially at a time like this.
I think both those points about what it is that is being not done is actually very well made. And that it constantly comes back to this, right? I think that the gaps in what people are not doing become even more stark when you look at what they should be doing. And in this case, it's the case of relief work not being done, ambulances not being able to get to places to do their jobs. And in contrast, a motorcade.
Meanwhile, okay, I want to read this one from Amma, who simply says, I do not give way to the VVIP circus except for the essential emergency vehicles. I'm intrigued.
I know. I mean, I'm not at all recommending that this is an approach to go, but the sheer ability to just resolutely drive on while all of that hullabaloo is going around you, I can't even imagine.
Yeah, I get very reactive in that moment as a driver because I think it's something about the lights and the sound and the
speed banging
usually.
On your car.
Yes, that's true. The last time, every time we talk about convoys on air, actually, there is a story, this time from you, but usually there is a story shared at some point or another of an outrider doing some form of violence to other people's vehicles. And I think that, I don't know, I just don't understand the premise of why it is that would be okay to do in any context. We have Y, who says the convoy should have been clearing the road for the ambulance instead.
I mean, one would presume that when an ambulance puts on its siren, it means it needs to get somewhere important. And I actually agree with Amar as well that I'm very cognizant when it's a fire truck or an ambulance. And I always try, and generally road users do as well. But yes, I absolutely agree that especially if it's flood relief areas, that would be a more productive use of time.
So keep those thoughts coming. If you'd like to share your thoughts on police convoys being used particularly for VIPs, we're talking about this because PDRM is trending today on Twitter after a video showed authorities stopping an ambulance at an intersection to allow for the Prime Minister's convoy to pass through, and that has caused no small amount of anger. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.